from Pacifica, this is Democracy Now!
We need to be able to protect the most vulnerable. And if we are here to try and end the epidemic and fight the epidemic, we will not succeed by putting our head in the sand and pretending that these people do not exist or they do not need help.
The UN General Assembly special session on AIDS opens amidst protests in New York. The meeting's one of the biggest since the UN set goals for tackling the virus in 2001. We'll take a look at the AIDS crisis around the world and the role of pharmaceutical companies and access to HIV treatment.
People with AIDS, they need access to the drugs that treat them. They also need new drugs. They need innovation and they need access. And they need a global system for supporting innovation, which gives them both access and new products.
And we'll take a look at the recent elections in Colombia with journalist Mario Murillo, author of Colombia and the United States, War, Terrorism, and Destabilization. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. The Bush administration has announced it'll enter into talks with Iran if Tehran suspends nuclear enrichment activities. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice made the announcement on Wednesday.
The United States is willing to exert strong leadership to give diplomacy its very best chance to succeed. Thus, to underscore our commitment to a diplomatic solution, and to enhance the prospects for success, as soon as Iran fully and verifiably suspends its enrichment and reprocessing activities, the United States will come to the table with our EU colleagues and meet with Iran's representatives.
Iran's government rejected the overture, calling it propaganda. Iran's foreign minister later said Tehran would enter into talks with the U.S. but would not give up nuclear enrichment. A U.S. military probe has uncovered evidence that implicates both Marines and commanders in a cover-up of the killings of innocent Iraqis in the city of Haditha. An Army official told the Washington Post officers gave false testimony to their superiors, who in turn failed to investigate information that should have been pursued. The findings back recent statements by Democratic Congressmember John Murtha, who says he was given credible information a cover-up occurred. In Washington, President Bush made his first public comments about the massacre.
I am troubled by the initial news stories. I am mindful that there is a thorough investigation going on. If in fact the the laws were broken, there will be punishment.
Meanwhile, in Iraq, Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki said his government would hold U.S. forces accountable for unlawful killings.
Mistakes may happen. It is not a strange thing, but there is an acceptable limit to mistakes. But when they exceed this limit and turn to disrespect to the people's dignity and the people's blood, this for us means a disdain of the lives of the innocent.
In other Iraq news, U.S. troops shot and killed two Iraqi women Wednesday, one of them about to give birth. The women were in a vehicle rushing to the hospital where one of the victims, Nabia Nisef Jassim, was to deliver her baby. U.S. troops said their car failed to stop in a prohibited zone despite warnings. But Jassim's brother, who drove the vehicle, said he never saw or heard any warnings. Doctors failed to save Jassim's unborn baby as well. She was the mother of two children. Her cousin, Saliha Mohammed Hassan, was also killed in the attack. Meanwhile, at least 50 people were reported dead in violence around Iraq Wednesday. In the day's worst known attack, 9 people were killed and 17 wounded in a mortar attack in southern Baghdad. And in other Iraq news, the Iraqi government has declared a month-long state of emergency in Basra. The southern city is controlled by British troops. The declaration follows one of Basra's deadliest months since the Iraq invasion. More than 100 people, including 9 British troops, were killed in Basra in May. In Afghanistan, the U.S. military has admitted it fired directly into a crowd of demonstrators during an anti-U.S. protest held in Kabul Monday. The Pentagon initially claimed soldiers had only fired into the air. An Afghan police commander told the New York Times the shootings killed 4 people. The protests broke out after a U.S. military vehicle spun out of control and smashed into several cars, killing 3 people. At least 14 died and 160 were wounded in the protests. In Indonesia, relief agencies are reporting an improvement in aid distribution to survivors of Saturday's massive earthquake. This is Paul Dillon of the International Organization for Migration.
Well, I think the situation in Central Java has improved dramatically over the last 72 hours or so. Boots on the ground, the sort of the machinery of delivering all these aid materials has started really to kick into gear.
Although improvements have been seen in some areas, the Independent of London is reporting at least six villages in the Java region have yet to receive food or water. In the occupied territories, the UN is calling for a dramatic increase in emergency aid for Palestinians living in the West Bank and Gaza. The UN says it needs $385 million, an 80% increase, to cope with the impact of the international boycott of the Hamas-led Palestinian Authority. At the UN Wednesday, delegates gathered for the first day of a three-day global summit on HIV/AIDS. Hundreds of protesters gathered outside to demand that world leaders listen to people most directly affected by HIV and fulfill commitments to fighting AIDS. The protesters chained themselves in the lobby of the U.S. mission around a large poster that featured a blow-up of a letter addressed to Ambassador John Bolton. This is Jean Palmer, who took part in the protest.
Everybody here deserves medicine and the funding just like everyone else does. And if you promise it, you need to give it to us because we are citizens. And even if we are not citizens, we're human beings and we deserve to be alive and be healthy.
Meanwhile, President Bush's AIDS policy former director was criticized Wednesday by his President Bush's policy was criticized by the former AIDS policy director. Scott Everts told Reuters that the Bush administration has reached out to militant Islamic governments, including some it classifies as terrorist states, to try to ensure the 2006 declaration backs abstinence and fidelity as crucial tools against AIDS. We'll have more coverage on the AIDS summit after headlines. The Supreme Court has issued a decision critics say will severely limit whistleblowing by government employees. In a 5-4 vote, the court ruled the First Amendment does not protect public employees from punishment for complaining to their superiors about possible wrongdoing in the workplace. The decision was handed down in the case of Los Angeles Deputy District Attorney Richard Ceballos, who says he was disciplined for accusing a police officer of lying to obtain a search warrant. Stephen Shapiro, legal director of the ACLU, said, quote, in an era of excessive government secrecy, the court has made it easier to engage in a government cover-up by discouraging internal whistleblowing. Former Vice President Al Gore has made what some are calling his harshest comments yet on the Bush administration. In an interview with the British newspaper The Guardian, Gore said the White House is run by, quote, a renegade band of right-wing extremists. Gore was in Britain to promote An Inconvenient Truth, his new documentary on global warming. And finally, lawmakers here in New York are protesting a Department of Homeland Security decision to allocate 40% less counterterrorism funding to the city that bore the brunt of the 9/11 attacks. The cut was announced Wednesday as part of the department's annual grant package. Republican Congressmember Peter King called the decision indefensible and disgraceful. Congressmember King went on to say, quote, as far as I'm concerned, the Department of Homeland Security and the administration have declared war on New York. While some cities will see an increase in aid, hurricane-ravaged New Orleans is not one of them. The city will receive half the $9 million in Homeland Security grants it received last year. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
And welcome to all of our listeners and viewers. The United Nations General Assembly special session on AIDS opened Wednesday in New York City. The meeting is one of the biggest since the UN set out goals for tackling the virus in 2001. In total, 180 governments will be represented at the three-day conference, which is due to end with a new declaration setting out changes in strategy for the global drive against AIDS over the next 9 years. At the opening session, the UN General Secretary Kofi Annan said the vast majority of countries had fallen, quote, distressingly short of meeting their targets, and criticized the lack of progress in combating HIV.